All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line, actually, I'm going to pass it on to Chloe. We've got our second interview for the program, and I'll pass it on to Chloe to introduce.
Thanks, Jacob. I'll just start by saying that five Aboriginal people have died in custody in the last 2 months in what were preventable deaths. Every year, Aboriginal people continue to die in custody and are subjected to racial profiling. They are bullied by police and thrown in jail, often for very trivial reasons. Today we are speaking with Keith Quayle about racist institutions like the police and prison complex, transformative justice, mutual aid and abolition, and what we can all do in our collectives and our communities to ensure Black Lives Matter. Keith Quayle is a Malay Gapa Bakinji gay man raised on Darug country. He is currently on a corrections order until August 2022. Keith is the founder of the New South Wales Community Advocates for Prisoners, a member of Pride in Protests, SWAP, which is Sex Workers Outreach Project, and Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Members Committee. Keith is also currently on the Trans and Gender Diverse Criminal Justice System Advisory Council and the Prisoner Interagency Advocacy Subcommittee. Keith joins us now. Thank you for your time so early this morning, Keith.
That's okay. Thanks. That was a mouthful.
Sorry, you're just a little bit quiet there. Keith, I just wanted to start by reminding listeners that there have been almost 500 Indigenous deaths in custody since the Royal Commission handed down its findings in 1991. No police officer or authority has ever been held criminally responsible for the death of an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person in custody in that time. And Keith, we know the system is racist. We know the intention from the beginning of invasion was genocide. There needs to be urgent action on this, especially following these five deaths in custody over the last 2 months. Would you be able to just talk about why this urgent situation is not being taken seriously? Is this still part of the same genocidal agenda?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, to answer that simply, I'd say yes. I think that it's a continuation of, colonial invasion and harmful gender norms. I think that, we see our political independence hasn't changed the conditions, and systematic powers, deliberately void, having conversations, outside of themselves. It's so invested, the state is so invested in punitive punishment. And, as you've seen with the new Serco Parklea facility, we can't engage with them because the state, they're not interested in having a dialogue around transformative justice with us. I think the reason why this urgent issue isn't, being taken seriously by government, I think, is because they won't allow us at the table. And also on the other end of the spectrum, I think, we need to get organised, like at the left wing, and I think I'll go into it a bit further, I think later on in the interview, but yeah, I think we really need to get organised in terms of mutual aid and what we're going to do for each other, away from the state.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Keith, for that. The Black Lives Matter movement, it really had an impact on First Nations peoples, First Nations LGBTQI plus people, and trans women of colour. And many people in society are now, hopefully questioning whether policing and punishment and prison should exist. And, we know Aboriginal women, they're reluctant to go to the police to ask for help if they are in danger. They risk facing even more danger and, getting strip searched and arrested themselves, or even having their children taken from them. And also black trans women won't call the police to ask for help you know, if they're facing a violent situation, because, you know, they too risk getting violated or even killed. And, yeah, non-binary communities already have, you know, ways of dealing with that violence in their lives, and, you know, we should be talking to those communities. You know, we can't really rely on this system that doesn't really deal justice to anybody, especially to First Nations people. So, Keith, you know, would you be able to just tell us why it's so important that we move away from racist institutions like the police and the prison industrial complex? You know, why, like you mentioned before, mutual aid, you know, why funding should be removed from carceral institutions that exist just to control people and oppress First Nations people. You know, why should we, you know, we should be moving towards that transformative justice and abolition?
Yeah, look, you know, I think, as I mentioned before, you know, since our lands, you know, were invaded, you know, we've had, you know, the, you know, we've been forced into this idea of, you know, colonial imposed patriarchal, you know, normalized heterosexuality. And for Indigenous communities such as my own, you know, transgender diverse people, you know, there wasn't that term back then. But, you know, if you look at most Indigenous cultures around the world, you'll see that there's, you know, a two-spirited identity. And they're actually truth tellers and healers. And I think that, you know, we really need to get back to our Indigenous you know, epistemology, because it predates that of Plato and of the European ideas. And we need to listen to Indigenous peoples, assist them, befriend them. But also us as Indigenous people, we need to respond to our own violence within our own communities, you know, without punitive measures. You know, and, you know, we normalize violence, not just in Indigenous communities, but even queer communities. We normalize violence such as, you know, reinforcing harmful gender norms, you know, privilege, you know, intersectionality, racism, you know. So it's not just the state that is oppressing us, it's also ourselves. And, you know, until we, you know, as I mentioned before, get organized and really have these, you know, deep conversations to do this deep work, you know, I think that, you know, I think about the generations of people, you know, that have been doing, you know, this transformative work, you know, without even knowing the title of it or mutual aid or, you know, and, you know, people like immigrants, queer people of colour, Indigenous, you know, and disabled folks, sex workers, unhoused people, you know, the people have not really had anybody, and they've never been able to rely on these folks outside of, you know, their own communities and social networks. So it's already being done. You know, so I think, like, it's not like a pie-in-the-sky dream. Mm-hmm. And I'll just mention as well, like, David Spade, you know, they started the mutual aid projects, and, you know, it's a form of political participation in which people take responsibility for caring for one another and changing political conditions, not just through symbolic acts or putting pressures on representatives and governments. And I think that's what you find with most protests, and you'll find again, you know, coming up to this national Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. you know, there's no real mutual aid or any type of connecting. And I think that's something that we really need to address as left-wing organisers and our collectives, you know. And mutual aid, it doesn't just have to happen like in disasters. It can happen, you know, we can make it happen in our everyday lives, you know, but just by building relationships and, you know, assisting in advocating for, you know, prisoners that don't have the ability to advocate for themselves. You know, and I think that would, you know, if you look at the Oakland Power Projects, you know, they're about strengthening people's skills to respond to emergencies. I think, you know, if you look at over in Bondi, they have the House Tola, which is like a, you know, a ambulance service for Jewish people. You know, it's all been, the wheel's already been spinning. It's just, you know, we need to get our minds together and really think about the longevity on this social success. And it's really personal for me, you know, because, you know, my cousin Mark Quayle, he was mentioned in the Royal Commissions, and, you know, all of these deaths, you know, the majority of these deaths are absolutely preventable. And, you know, I really think that, again, I'll say, you know, we need to move away from the state and rely on ourselves, because I do believe we have the power to change this.
Yeah, we do. We just, like you said, we need to be better organized and connected with one another. Maybe just time for, like, maybe a couple more questions, Keith, if that's all right. So the criminal justice system, or so-called justice system, you know, it's killing First Nations people, but it is even more brutal towards trans and gender diverse people. I think you touched on this. Would you be able to, you know, tell us a bit about the organisation that you founded, the New South Wales Community Advocates for Prisoners, and maybe, you know, you could share, you know, with our listeners some of the experiences that, you know, you've had being in police custody and having to deal with racist police.
Sure, yeah. So I guess I'll start, you know, from my personal prison experience. I came into contact with the law, you know, around about 18, and but I didn't go into custody until, you know, August of 2014. So, you know, for me that was an eye-opening experience. You know, for me also, I'm a 6'4" black man. So apart from being queer, I'm also black, you know. So if you know anything about custody, you know that, you know, that, you know, we're overrepresented in custody. So, you know, in terms of my time in custody, although it was really difficult for me, you know, coming out, you know, and thinking about my time in there, you know, I think about my own privileges, you know, that I had that trans and gender diverse people didn't have, you know, and so, you know, if you can imagine, you know, entering a really cold, damp, concrete place, you know, I mean, it's a traumatic experience for anybody to go into custody, but for, you know, trans women primarily of colour that have to enter male prisons, you know, they have to live with the daily reality, you know, of, you know, being sexually abused, physically abused, you know, and so on. So I'm the principal organiser of New South Wales Community Advocates, and yeah, so it's a volunteer service, and we're connected, you know, with other mutual aid and abolition and collectives out there. So primarily what we provide is interpersonal support, case management, prison support such as pen pals. We build relationships, you know, with people through the lens of transformative justice. So, you know, we're not interested in what crime they committed. We're just interested in, you know, welcoming them back into the community and really supporting them, and assisting, you know, in getting them advocates, you know, and survive, really, you know.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you were... Sorry, I just cut you off.
No, I was just thinking, did I answer all your questions?
Yeah, I think you did. Jacob, did you want to ask anything?
Ask, I guess, the kind of last sort of planned kind of question we're going to kind of ask, because I think we're running a bit of our time. We've got to conclude, I guess, the interview. There's going to be, I guess, a National Day of Action tomorrow. I know there's going to be a rally happening in Sydney and Melbourne. And, yeah, so if you want to give you a bit of opportunity to speak about the National Day of Action, why it's important to support, and then talk about, you know, what are some other things that people can be doing to support Indigenous rights and, you know, encompassing all the kind of things we've kind of been discussing up to this point.
I'm so sorry. There's these people that have just come. I'll just mention all the protests that are happening tomorrow. So we have the one in Alice Springs, 10 a.m. Court Lawns. The one in Brisbane, King George Square. Sydney, 10 a.m. Town Hall. Melbourne, Parliament Steps, 10 a.m. And Perth Thursday, the 12th at 12 p.m. So it's happening all over the country. You know, I really think get involved, you know, show your support, And also, you know, for non-Indigenous people that are coming along, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the solidarity, and I'd really love for you to take the conversations back to your own communities, you know, and having these conversations around, you know, how Black Lives Matter and what you can do with your Indigenous friends, colleagues, you know, people that you study with, etc. I think reach out, you know, create relationships, because that's how we're going to create change.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Keith. And now I'll just make a mention of it for our Melbourne listeners. So for Melbourne listeners, tomorrow there's going to be the Stop Black Deaths in Custody rally is going to be happening at 1 p.m. outside the Parliament House on Saturday in Melbourne. So that's just off Spring Street or off Bourke Street in the city. So yeah, hope our listeners can get along to that rally, and to also tell your friends, family and anyone you might know in your networks about the rally too. There is a Facebook event for it up on the Warriors of Aboriginal Resistance Facebook page.
Thanks Keith for being on the program with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we might, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we'll just go play a quick interview and then move on to the next part of the program.